Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're back here, Gamertag Radio, and we have here the legend, Hank Rogers. Hank, man, welcome to the show. I know we had you before. You guys were promoting the movie, but now this time you're promoting your new book, The Perfect Game, Tetris from Russia with Love. Welcome to the show, Hank.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us a little bit about your about this new book that's coming out very soon.
Well, you know, I before the movie came out, I was working with Alexei on the script. They let us mess around with the stuff that happened in Moscow, meaning that they wanted us to get the Soviet Union right, the feeling of it, mm-hmm. Which we did and which they did. But they wouldn't let us touch any of the Hollywood, you know, how can I say, stuff that never happened. So when I looked at the script, I said, oh my God, this is such a, I don't know, it's so not what actually happened. There was no car chase. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like, that's all Hollywood. And so I wanted to set the record straight. So I wrote that whole part where the movie, during the movie time. And somebody looked at that and said, you know what? It kind of looks like a book, except that it's too short. And so can you add something to it? It's like, well, I can't really embellish the part that I've already written. I mean, I would just be adding words. So I know I can write the before and after. So I wrote the rest of my game career into it.
Oh, so awesome.
Kind of the story of my life at the end of the day.
Yeah. So what is a perfect game? The perfect game. What is it to you? Like, for those that, you know, it could be life, it could be Tetris.
Yeah, no. But, you know, this is specifically in relation to the, into my career. I've always been searching for the perfect game. You know, I tried to create the perfect game when I did Black Onyx back in 1983. It was pretty good, I would say. I mean, it launched a whole new genre in Japan. And there have been other games that are like great, but everybody should be, you know, that's one way of looking at it, is the perfect game. But the perfect game could be when you're actually playing the game. Like if you get your high score, if you get like an epic win, you know, when Blue Scooty, you know, broke the game, that was for him the perfect game. He achieved it. So epic win is another perfect game. And so I like to think about life as a series of epic wins if I can achieve them.
Awesome. Now, out of all the Tetris games that have been coming out, that came out throughout the years, which one, in your opinion, the one is like, okay, I'm better in this game than any other version of Tetris?
Well, okay, so I probably played Game Boy the most. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I carried that thing around with me everywhere I went, and played. And so, you know, I got pretty good at Game Boy Tetris. Since then, I invented other ways of scoring, like T-spin, and I never really got into being really good at making my own, you know, winning the game using T-spins. And the better players now all know how to use T-spins. It's just a normal thing. So things have been invented since, and Game Boy is the one that I played the most.
Yeah, I love the Game Boy version. I also have the NES version too. I have that one signed. Alexis assigned that one, and I love Tetris Effect Connected. You know, that one is like my all time favorite one so far.
It's so amazing. You know, I have a PlayStation, you know, just so I can play Tetris Effect. And you know, I'm such a Luddite. I you know, basically, if I turn on the TV, I'll be watching the news. You know, it's mm-hmm. or YouTube's. It's, I just don't go to the, you know, the length of hooking up my my console and actually playing games on it.
Now, out of all the pieces in Tetris, which one is your favorite and your least favorite, and why?
If I'm playing, of course, the eye is my favorite. If you say outside the game, it's the T.
The T,
and it's because the I and the O are kind of boring. The S and Z can't live by themselves. They have to have their mirror image. the S and Z, and then the J and the L. They need to have their mirrors so they can't stand alone. So T is the most interesting shape that can stand alone, and it's symmetrical. And when you use the T on a playfield, it changes the profile. Like you can put an S on top of an S and a Z on top of a Z and so on, and you can maintain the profile. But when that T comes out, that you have to make a choice. How do you want to change your profile? So I like that one. It's interesting.
Yeah, let's go back when the first time we went to CES and you got to see Tetris for the first time when you actually played. What was it that stood out to you about this game than any other games at that time in the 80s for you?
It was just so simple. I mean, like every other game had like characters and story and whatnot. And this thing was like, okay, we don't need any story. We don't need any characters. We don't need nothing. We just need blocks. It's like, really? Can you actually make a game that is just blocks? And that was intriguing. And when I played it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so out of nowhere. I mean, like, you know, I don't think somebody would have come up with it outside the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union just didn't have games. You know, they mathematical puzzles, that was about as far as they got.
So you knew right away that this game was made in Soviet Union at that time?
Oh, yeah,
time?
No,
right
it was that was clear. They advertised it as being a game from the Soviet Union. The whole cover of the box was like the St. Basil's Cathedral in Red Square. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, they advertised it as being... They even the name of the game, they had like a Cyrillic in it. So that it, everybody knew it's from Russia.
So now fast forward. Okay, you got the game. You already want to make things happen now with this game. What was it that, how hard was it to get connected with Nintendo to get the okay from them to work with you guys and them?
So I had been working with Nintendo already for a number of years. So on the Japanese version of the NES, the Famicom, Tetris was my third game. Mm-hmm. So I was already in the business. And I already was in the business with Mr. Arakawa at NOA. We made joypads, something called the NES Max, which we, I sold Mr. Arakawa and Nintendo 2 million joypads. And we'd negotiate regularly. So by the time Tetris came around, we were all already buddies. And so it was Consumer Electronics Show of 89, after I went up to Seattle and I met with Mr. Arakawa. And I said, you know you're coming out with Game Boy. You should include Tetris with Game Boy. And he said, why should I include Tetris? I have Mario. And I said, if you want little boys to buy your Game Boy, include Mario. But if you want everyone to buy your Game Boy, then include Tetris. And he called in his gamer experts, and they all said, yeah, that's true. And so we made a deal. We shook hands. And that was the basis. That handshake of me was the reason I went to the Soviet Union next month.
Yeah. You know, that like thinking about it, because I know the NES was very successful with Mario. So for you to convince Nintendo, like, hey, instead of Mario, add Tetris to be part of the Game Boy device, that is a pretty huge accomplishment for you, I think. That was major, major, major. Yeah, because to change their minds like that, that was amazing.
Yeah. And I said, look, you know, you can include Tetris, and then you can sell Mario afterwards. You know, you can make full pop. Don't give it away. You can sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And I mean, I remember seeing pictures at that time too. There was President Clinton, his wife Hillary Clinton was actually during the flight playing Tetris on their the original Game Boy. I remember seeing that online. I'm like, wow. So when you see that at that time, seeing how mainstream this game got, like, because I know originally the NES version, it was good, right? But nothing compared to the Game Boy version.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, it's vindication. You know, I put my heart into... So the Game Boy version was based on my Famicom version in Japan. You know, the way that the game is broken up into levels. You get a break in between levels where it tallies the score, so you know why you got the 400s or the... you know, the bigger points for the long piece. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to know that. And so, I mean, that's sort of the cadence of arcade games like Pac-Man or Galaxian, is you play for a while and then there's a break, and then you play for a while and there's a break. So that carried into the Game Boy. And boy, did it work.
Yeah, I remember the first time, because I was living in the Dominican Republic, so my mom got me a Game Boy, had Tetris, right? So I was like, man, I'm dying to play this multiplayer. So then finally, a friend of mine also got a Game Boy with Tetris. Let me tell you, when I played that game multiplayer for the first time with the Link cable, mind was completely blown away. I'm like, oh my God. So I got like the whole neighborhood together, like for us to play Tetris, man. So that was really, really amazing. So was that something that you pitched to Nintendo, or Nintendo came up with the concept like for like the two-player multiplayer concept for the Game Boy version? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember having that discussion with Nintendo. You know, the only thing that stands out in my mind is that they didn't have a random number generator. when they finally sent me the master, I don't remember having a cable. Anyway, I played it, and I said, these pieces aren't coming out random. There's something wrong with the random number generator. And, you know, like, if you have like Mario, the numbers don't have to be random. It doesn't matter, because if it's weird, it's just weird. That's just the way it goes. But mm-hmm. in the case of Tetris, if one piece comes out more than the others, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And so I had my QA people count pieces, and sure enough, it wasn't flat. There was a peak. I think the S was coming out twice as much as the rest. And I said, this is unacceptable. The Russians will never pass this, you know. And so on Saturday, they sent out their programmer, and we worked together to fix the random number generator. And we did.
Yeah, I know Tetris turned 40 years old, man. How's it, in your opinion, how much that changed your life, you know, seeing how much success Tetris throughout the four decades?
You know, if it wasn't for Tetris, I might still be in the computer game business. You know, I might still be trying to make, you know, the next sequel to the Black Onyx or something. You know, there's a point at which you can retire. Maybe you can sell your company if you're lucky, but Tetris is the golden goose. It keeps on giving, and so we just make sure that we feed the goose.
Mm-hmm. Now, out of all the Tetris games, which one was the one that, like, wow, I've never thought that somebody would come up with a concept with this type of game for Tetris?
There's
so many versions.
No, but I would say Tetris Effect is the one that really blew my mind. You know, yes, this is like takes Tetris to a whole new level. You know, you're not only playing Tetris, but you're playing Tetris in another dimension.
And the message too, like actually when you finish and complete the whole thing, I just love how everybody's connected. Like this, just the messaging was awesome too, playing that. Like my wife, she got to play for the first time, right? And she completed all the levels and everything, right? And she actually cried at the last level. She's like, oh my God, this is so amazing. God. Yeah, it's touching, like the messaging, how well they, cause I love their games too, but this one like took it to the next level in my opinion.
So I took Mizuguchi, who's the designer.
Yes.
And I took Mizuguchi to Burning Man before he made Tetris Effect.
Okay. Oh, really?
I think it might have something to do with it.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope, man. Yeah.
There's like, you know, the whole space of Burning Man is just like so incredible.
That's cool. That's cool, man. Now, for those, why people should check out this new book of yours, and you know, I know there's so many books out there, but why this is the one that people should definitely check it out once it releases?
Well, I mean, if you're interested at all in the history of the computer game industry and Nintendo, and it's even surrounds the fall of the Soviet Union, those are all interesting things, but you know, it's a kind of a rags to riches story. We were poor. I never got an allowance. I worked my way through college. And, you know, it's sort of like, how can you go from nothing to having a business and being successful? That's another way of looking at it, and it's by, you know, I would say that life is a game, and I've had a series of epic wins in my life, and you know, I still strive for that. I'm still looking for the next epic win, which is to fix climate change.
Mm. Do you still? I mean, I know you guys probably talk still. You and Alexi, like how important has been the relationship between you two guys throughout the years?
Are you kidding me? Like, if we're in the same, I lived in Seattle area for a couple of years during COVID. Every other day, Alexi and I get together, bottle of wine. We pounded a lot of wine, man, and so we get together regularly, and you know, we've gone on trips together. You know, this is the true definition of best friends forever. We shook hands on a deal in 1993, how I was going to help him with Tetris. That deal is still alive today, that handshake. Wow. I mean, we've gone through lots of different companies and iterations on both sides and so on, but that handshake is still alive. That's how
I mean, that all because you just showed up at CES and you saw the game there, right? All because of that. Well, look how much it changed.
You could say that. I mean,
what I'm saying, like, just like in life in general, like everything happens for a reason. You were at the right place, right time.
That's right.
And fast forward to now.
Yeah. And yes. And we're always at the right place at the right time. You just got to recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people appear at the right place at the right time, and then they don't take that opportunity. Mm. You know, like if you're in that situation, go for it. What have you got to lose? What you have to lose is your life could have changed if you didn't take that like jump. So go for it, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I know your daughter took over the company, right? So how's that been? You know, because I know she was in the movie too, like her as a little girl seeing you doing all this behind the scenes and all, right? Fast forward to now, her just, you know, taking over the company. How's that been?
You know, I worked for my dad for many years in the gem business, and I hated it. He never listened to me. And so, you know, when he died, the business fell apart. Nobody knew what was going on. It was all in his head. Mm-hmm. And so I said to my kids, look, I'm not asking you to work for me. This is not like you must work for me because you're the oldest, blah, 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 that kind of thing, you know? No, I'm not forbidding it, but if you work for me and our work gets in the way of our family, you're fired. I can always hire somebody to do what you can do. I cannot hire another family member. That's it. Family is family. So under those conditions, Mai actually, you know, she went and got her degree in business, which I never did. I was a computer science geek. And so she got her business degree and joined the company after working for I think it was Honda for a while. And then she worked for Sony as a, you know, assistant producer. So she knew the game business. Then she came to work for me and worked her way up. I didn't give her the business. She took it.
That's awesome. Actually, I saw her was it last month at DICE. I'm like, oh, I see her making moves. Like, she's always making moves too. That was cool going to the 40th anniversary celebration event that you guys had Tetris in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it was cool seeing everybody. Nolan Bushnell was there too. You know, legend too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was awesome to see everybody together. I'm like, oh man, look at this. Like how much all these games, like you guys, like completely changed my life as a gamer too, you know? So seeing all everybody together, my mind was blown, man. So it was great to see that. Yeah. Now, Hank, you know, your legacy, man. What years from now, when people discover Tetris for the first time, you know, the next generation, what is it that you want people to remember you?
I want people to remember that I convinced them that fixing climate change is just a decision. That's how I want to be remembered. And so, you know, I'm working on getting people in different jurisdictions. We got Hawaii to make the decision to go 100% renewable energy in 2015, and we're on track. We're at 36% renewable energy. We have 15 other states that have the same legislation now. So over 51% of the people in this country are living with a mandate that says that they have to go 100% renewable energy for electricity by 2040, 2045, 2050, somewhere around there. And now we're doing it for the rest of the world, starting with island and island countries. So DR is going to be is on our list as one of the... What we do is we bring them to Hawaii. We show them what we did in Hawaii. We teach them how to do it. They ask all the questions, and then they go back and they do it in their home country. We bring someone from the government, someone from the utility, someone from the regulatory agency, and someone from the community, so four people. And basically, we just give them the confidence to say, hey, you know what? Because before they come, they think it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And that's the way Hawaii used to think. It used to be impossible. But now, of course, we're doing this.
You said DR? You said DR? Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. My family's from there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You mentioned that earlier. So, we've had Dominica.
Dominica too, yeah. Okay.
We have Dominica, but not DR. We have Jamaica, Grenada, Dominica, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands. I mean, like, and all kinds of Pacific Islands.
Really cool to see. Really cool to hear that.
Yeah.
All right, so... one last time, when people could purchase this book when it comes out? When is the official date?
April Fool's Day, of course.
Ooh, April 1st. That's very soon. That's a couple of weeks. Let's go. Yeah, so you could go right now and pre-order the book, right, too? So
that's right.
And I think that would be good to get in advance, you know, just be prepared to arrive at the house April 1st.
April 1st, yeah. Gosh, I should be prepared with a QR code or something, but I don't. Maybe
it's all good. I'll put a link on our site. Our podcast. No, Hank, I just want to say congratulations and good luck with the book. I can't wait to actually get a copy too. And much luck, man. We definitely will stay in touch because I still play Tetris to this day, man. I even have my copy. Okay, my copy is somewhere in the back. You know, see right there? That's Tetris right there. Okay. There you go.
I see it. Yeah. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, right, awesome. Thanks, Hank.
Hey, by the way, where are you based?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So it was easy for me to go to the event, the 40th anniversary. That's perfect. Right. I'm in town. I actually took my baby, my daughter. I took her over there too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we'll be there, I think, in June.
Oh, for Summer Game Fest?
Yeah.
That week? Okay. Oh, definitely. Awesome.
See you then.
All right. Awesome.
Aloha.
All right.